Wesley, 28-week ordinary time 2. A first reading from the letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 18 to 25. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissension, faction, occasion of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desire. If we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit. Second, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, verses 42 to 46. Woe to you, Pharisees! You pay tithe of mint and of rue and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the seat of honor in synagogues and greetings in marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unseen thieves. Over weak people unknowingly walk. Then one of the scholars of the law said to him in reply, "Teacher, by saying this, you are insulting us too." And he said, "Woe also to you, scholars of the law! You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but you yourself do not lift one finger to touch them." Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. One can live either according to the Holy Spirit or according to his fleshly desire. Saint Paul's opponents accused him that since he wanted to attract more people to follow him, he preached an easy gospel which is based on faith in Jesus only, not on keeping of the law. Saint Paul answered them that is not the case. There is only one gospel, which based on the faith in Christ, and only this faith can liberate people from sin and lead them to salvation. The law had no power to do that. However, it is not meant that the ones who put their faith in Christ do not have to keep any kind of law. They must live according to the law of the Holy Spirit. Today's readings concentrate on the law which the believers must keep and the law which they must discard. In the first reading, Saint Paul differentiated two ways of living: either according to the Holy Spirit or according to the law. Those who put their faith in Christ live according to the Holy Spirit law, while those who put their faith in the Jewish law live according to their fleshly desire, because this law had no power to guide them according to God's way. In the Gospel, Jesus called the Pharisee and the scribe to pay attention to divine law and the observance of the law, not to murder on tedious laws, hypocritical keeping the law and keeping the law for vain glory or material gain. Second analysis. First reading. If you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. To avoid confusion, there are some things we must make clear. First, when Paul talked about the law, he means the Jewish law, which includes both the Ten Commandments and the receipts which their leader added to time. Some add that this Saint Paul tells the Christians that since Christ liberated them from the law, from now on they do not have to keep the Jewish law anymore. We must rely on Saint Thomas to answer this question. Saint Thomas said, "We must keep the Ten Commandments because they are the divine and natural law and they are unchangeable. But we do not have to keep all the precepts that Jewish leader added them on because they are human laws and for the Jews only. Example, circumcision, purification, etc. Human laws can be changed with time. Secondly, the Ten Commandments along with the Old Covenant are imperfect comparing with Jesus' commandments and the New Covenant, which are perfect. When one keeps Jesus' law, he fulfilled all the old law. Lastly, Jesus' new law can be abbreviated in the two commandments, love God and others. When one loves somebody, he wants the best for his lover. This also renders the old law ineffective because it is more perfect. In today's passage, Saint Paul gave the Galatians a list of sins which the believer must avoid and a list of virtues which they must acquire. This should silence all the critics who misunderstood Paul and thought he preached an easy gospel which is lawless. According to Paul, there are two ways of life. If one chooses to be justified by the law, he shall live according to his fleshly desire. If one chooses to be purified by his faith in Christ, he shall let the Holy Spirit guide him according to God's grace and Christ's law. Concretely, Paul gave us out the two lists. First point, according to the flesh. Some signs of those who live according to this way, Paul clearly declared that those who live according to this way shall not be inherit of God's salvation. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, to satisfy their fleshly desires. Idolatry and sorcery should believe in the devil instead of God's power. Hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, these acts are completely against charity. Acts of selfishness, dissension, faction, occasions of envy, these acts destroy unity in a family or community. Drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. These acts show people do not know how to control their passions and live lives anymore. Second point, according to the Holy Spirit, Saint Paul listed 9 signs of those who live according to the Holy Spirit guidance. We need to differentiate between the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit, which God gives to a believer, and the Holy Spiritual fruits, which one soul that he is living according to the Holy Spirit. These can be called a virtue, which one can put there to practice. First, charity. This is one of the 3 theological virtues which God gives to a believer, but he must practice in raising it and to bear fruits. These are the most important virtues. Second, joy. This is the feeling of the one who possesses what he desires or hopes for. Third, peace. This is the feeling of the one who puts his trust in God and believes that God shall not let him hopeless. Fourth, generosity. This virtue is a part of charity. The one who have this virtue shall not take evil for evil, but good, and always forgive. Fifth, kindness. This virtue is also part of charity. The one who possesses this virtue is always kind with people. Sixth, goodness. This virtue is also a part of charity. The one who has this virtue wants to do good for others. 7. Gentleness. This is the characteristic of the one who is not rude to others, but is always meek and treat others with dignity. 8. Faithfulness. This virtue is needed for one to be loyal to God and others in case of difficulty. And lastly, self-control. This can also be called temperance and is one of the 4 cardinal virtues. This virtue helps one to control his eating, drinking, and pleasure of thirst. The Church in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 1832, add the 3 more virtues to the Holy Spirit food. They are 10. Patience. This virtue is a part of the virtue of hope. The one who has this virtue shall not change when he must face difficulty or hardship. 11. Modesty. This virtue controls the zeal of material things in one's life so that he shall not pay too much attention to them than he needs to. it is also regard on the sense of behavior, speech, dress, etc. And chastity is a part of the moral virtue of temperance. It pays a special attention to the control of the pleasure of thirst in one's sexual life. St. Paul affirmed, against thirst there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passion and desire. The law can only prevent people not to sin, but it is not able to help people to live according to the higher values. Second, the gospel. Judge yourself before judging others. Third point. You pay no attention to justice and to love for God. As spiritual leaders, the Pharisees are supposed to know the way and to set good example for people to follow, but they did not do that. Jesus invited them to examine three things. First, to distinguish between necessary and temporal things. He said, woe to you, Pharisees, you pay tithe of mint and of rue and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the other. They forgot to leave out two of the most commandments, which are to love God and other. They pay too much attention to outside ceremony and forgot to treat others with justice. For example, they hid what they collected from others for their own expense. Second, to avoid vain glory. Woe to you, Pharisees, you love the seat of honor in synagogues and retains in marketplaces. Third, to avoid hypocrisy. Woe to you, you are like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk. Second point, you impose on people burdened hard to carry. One of the scholars of the law said to him in reply, teacher, by saying this, you are insulting a Jew. And he said, woe also to you, scholars of the law. You impose on people burdened hard to carry, but you yourself do not lift one finger to touch them. The scribes are those who know the law. They should find opportunities to teach people to understand and to keep the law. Instead, they use the law for their material gains. They are also ones who make law for others to keep, but they themselves belong to exception law and don't have to keep common law. Application in life. We should not proclaim our faith in Christ and do whatever we want to, but we must deny our fleshly desire and live according to the Holy Spirit guidance. 12 signs that help us to know if we are living according to the Holy Spirit guidance are charity, joy, peace, generosity, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, temperance, modesty, patience, and chastity. We should not live according to our fleshly desire as the Pharisees and the scribes. They have no regard for God and others. Like vainglory and hypocrisy, and zeal the law to unjustly treat and to deceive others. Amen.